This is Movie Podcast Now. Okay.
Michael and Philip.
With me, Michael.
And me, Philip. You guys, of course, didn't see what he was doing because it's not a video. But
no, it is a video.
After the now part, he just kept acting like he was saying now, but there was nothing coming out.
No, that's on your Zoom connection, dipshit. Okay, it actually did, and we are recording for video.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I told you this explicitly before we started. I said we're recording the Zoom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So let's explain why, though. Philip and I, well, hold on. We'll do that next week. I'll just give you a little bit of a teaser. We have big changes going on in 2024 now, don't we?
Well, we have big changes, but not big changes in Little China.
Not big changes in Little China. We have big penises in Little China, okay?
Yeah.
Big penises. And when I think of Little China, I think of big penises, okay? And
well, it's not called Big China.
It's not called Big China. If it was Big China, it'd be Little Penises.
Yeah.
This is Little China. You got to make up for it. Big penises.
It's the town of magic.
It really, well, hold on. Let's not get ahead of ourselves, but it certainly is, Phil. It certainly is. But I'll just give you a little teaser. Next week, we have a New Year's edition of the podcast coming out. We want you guys to check it out because, again, we got big stuff to talk about in Little Podcast, okay?
Yes. Little
Podcast China.
Well, I said Little Podcast China.
No, see, now I'm thinking that there has to be a Joe Rogan equivalent in China, and I would love to hear that.
Yeah, me too, but...
like some fucking roided out Chinese, like, dumb who's just talking about... He's like, wow, Americans are just so weird, bro. And he's talking to some state official Communist Party member who's just like, yeah, they eat babies over there. You know,
yeah,
just like,
they actually created COVID in our lab, behind our backs.
Phil, this is our post-Christmas heckisode. And before we finally wrap up John Carpenter month, what do you say we talk about Santa Claus.
Talk about Santa Claus.
Okay.
Santa Claus.
So while you're too busy resting on the laurels of that unfunny pun you just did, how about instead you tell me what Santa Claus brought you?
Okay, well, Santa Claus brought me, let's see.
Wow.
Santa Claus gave me money.
Okay, me too. How much?
Yeah.
How much now? You have to tell me an exact dollar amount.
I'm telling you a dollar amount.
Okay, fine, but you got money.
Yeah. Then
people don't know this. Philip's dad invented anti-vaxism, so I'm sure his dad can give him a pretty big check for Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah, he wait, what'd you say?
He invented anti-vaxism.
Yes, he invented anti-vaxism. That's why we're so rich and sick all the time.
All the time. Phil, you're yellow.
I am. I should just move to Springfield.
Hey. I don't know what that is. I've never seen cartoons, but go off, Quain. What else did you get for Christmas?
Well, my wife got me a sweater with Darth Vader on it.
What's it say? Hold on, stop. Go slow here. This is a big episode. We're recording for 24 hours.
It's like a Darth Vader, it's a Christmas sweater with, of course, a Darth Vader face and, like, the stormtroopers each on it and, like, candy canes. And then she also got me.
Hold on. Does the sweater say anything?
I think it says, like, Merry Christmas.
It doesn't say, like, Mary, let me try and think of a Star Wars pun.
I got to go look at it to figure it out.
It doesn't matter. I'm trying to do a fucking bit. Jesus Christ. What do you, have you not? We've been podcasting for going on 9 years now, and you still don't know how, like, we're. I'm trying to joke with you, silly pants. Give me a second.
Let me Maybe think of I a, have some kind of virus.
Yeah, you. Well, it's because your dad is the king of anti-vaxxism. And again, I think personally, I disagree with that, but I still respect all respect to you guys. You know, you like pretty much ripped this country in half the past 3 years, and I gotta love you for it.
Well, that's been our goal ever since we lost the little war call that wasn't very civil, but was civil.
No, but it was silver, because back then there was a lot of silver products, like muskets and teeth.
And sabers.
Sabers. Fuck, dude. The T-1000.
Money.
Money was silver back then, that's true. Why don't we just call it the Silver War?
I don't know.
Like, why is it called the Civil War? Has anybody ever done this bit? Hold on. The Civil War, more like the... not that civil, if you think about it. Really, guys, think about it, bro. Like, I can get all Bill Hicks on it.
Oh, yeah.
Put on the
That's
super
when
cool...
That's you know you got the audience, is when you get in your Bill Hicks mode. That's when they put the sunglasses on and they listen.
Oh, dude, and the fucking leather duster, because you're cool and not gay.
Yeah, you're like Walker, Texas Ranger. Fucking...
like boots,
like a Jimi Hendrix song in the background, or
it has to
like...
be Jimi Hendrix. Here's the thing, people don't realize this. If you actually like rock and roll music, you're like never thinking about Jimi Hendrix. If you have the musical taste of, like, you know, a fat Midwestern aunt. Where
yeah.
you've sort of just...
Oh, Bon Jovi.
That's what I mean. You have like a passing familiarity with rock and roll. Then if somebody says, who's the greatest guitarist ever? Your first answer, unblinking speed, you will go, Jimi Hendrix. You'll also say that stupid shit Melissa Etheridge said on VH1 once when they were talking about Phil... what's the name of the lead singer from... God damn it, Thin Lizzy.
Oh, yeah.
Phil Lynott?
Phil Lynott.
Phil Lynott. She said he's the Jimi Hendrix of bass players, and it's like, Melissa, you're just saying that because he's black. Yeah, you fucking idiot. Okay.
Yeah, no, it's like, if I think of a Jimi Hendrix, like a fucking bass player, it's bass players that the mainstream media is not going to know, because nobody will, one, gives a fuck about bass.
Yeah, but it's also like, Melissa, come to my window real quick. I have something to tell you, you know, and she comes trudging along, you know. And right, and her Doc Martens, and right, and I just look right at her, right, and I lean out my window. I'm dressed. I've got my nightcap and my stub of candle,
yeah,
because it's Christmas Day, by the way. And I do say, "Dear boy," I say, "Dear boy, what day is it?" Because I have that problem. I think a lot of folk singing women are little boys.
Yeah, I was like, "She's like, hey, wait a minute, Melissa,"
and I say, "Melissa, you did a shit lib racism just then, okay? Just because Phil Lynott from fucking, the Thin Lizzy was black does not, and he played the bass, does not make him the Jimi Hendrix of bass players. It's like Phil, like you just said. It would be somebody you'd be like, I don't know who that is."
Yeah, you would have to for one, you would have to listen to like,
I don't know, jazz?
Yeah.
You know? It would have to be
jazz,
like...
jazz, rock, like some...
I mean,
like,
look, we could be douchebags. We could be douchebags and go Flea. We could say Flea, I guess. Because, I mean, I don't like Red Hot Chili Peppers, but...
Yeah.
The guy can play bass.
Play bass. He's got some funky notes.
He's a funky monkey, that's for sure. But okay, so your wife bought you a Phil Lynott T-shirt that says Jimi Hendrix on it. Okay, what else?
Well, she got me this ring because I didn't have like an actual like. Well, the ring that I had didn't fit. It was so it would like slide off. So I was like, I can't wear this one. So then she got me this one to wear, and it's a size smaller.
Oh, okay. Well, you do have very tiny hands.
Yeah, I have thin granny hands. I have thin Lizzie hands.
Thin Lizzie. And I have thin Lizzie hands.
Yeah, and I have Betty Davis eyes.
No, you don't. You have really shitty eyeballs. The doctor told you that. I'm not trying to be mean. The doctor said that. You called me in a furious fucking mood. You said, Michael, I don't care that you're at work. I got to tell you what the doctor just said. I have the shittiest eyeballs. No, they work fine. He just for some reason wanted to take a shit emotionally on my eyeballs.
And keep in mind, my doctor's blind.
That's right. Oh.
I'm getting diagnosed wrong from right to left.
But that's,
like, that's a tumor.
Okay. Okay. We're not going to talk over each other. Fucking 9 years we've been podcasting. You still pull this stupid bullshit on me. Or how about this? What if we flip it? What if for 9 years I've just been getting unnecessarily upset with you when we happen to have the natural talking over each other thing that happens in conversation, and I've just never been able to fucking stop bitching about it?
Send us what you think, listeners. Let us know, like, which one's the asshole.
Email. Oh,
man. Finally
get
the 9 year.
Phil,
like,
shut up. No, I think we know who's going to win. Who's the biggest bitch on the podcast?
Yeah. It's just always going on at the balding guy.
Oh, Phil, where'd you go for Christmas?
Christmas Eve, we went to my stepsister's to see my dad, stepmom.
She lived near siblings. You? She lived near you?
Yeah, she lives like up like about 15 minutes away.
Okay, sweet. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so we went there. Chris then came home, watched Gremlins.
God, I didn't watch. How many Christmas movies, TV shows, like how many Christmas things did you watch this year?
A lot more than I would have if I were single, actually.
Oh, interesting. That makes sense. That makes sense.
We started, like, I think, like, the day after Thanksgiving with, like, old, like...
Jesus fucking
Frosty
Christ.
Frosty the Snowman and...
you watched all the Rankin Bass?
Yeah, like, the Rankin Bass.
I'm doing that after we get off the fucking horn here. I'm going to sit down. I'm not kidding. I've been listening to a lot of Tom Waits today because, well, let's just say... A little chubby, balding Santa brought me.
That sounds like Santa.
You really are, like, gearing up to be the coolest, funniest Santa.
Yeah.
Like, just like a beer.
Ernest.
Yeah.
We did watch that, I think.
Oh, you watched Ernest Stole Christmas? Yeah. Ernest Stole Christmas.
No, but we did watch... The Dr. Seuss Grinch, and then the Jim Carrey Grinch.
I was over at Alejandro and Rachel's on Friday for Friendsmas or whatever the fuck, right? And at one point, we're drunk, we're you know, hanging out, and Alejandro's like, hey, can we watch the Jim Carrey Grinch Who Stole Christmas? And I was like... And I had to be a Grinch. I said fucking no. Because
okay.
I'll tell you why, though. It's not because I don't think it's a good movie. But that's not why I said no. The reason I said no is when I saw that movie in theaters, what, probably the week before Christmas? Maybe the week after Thanksgiving? Whenever it came out in 2000 or 99 or whatever. That movie damn near gave me a panic attack because it is so upsetting and weird.
It's
and ugly.
Looking.
I don't like that movie
ugly,
at all.
Yeah.
Like aesthetically,
I hate
that movie.
I like the original Dr. Seuss one with fucking Karloff, right?
Who did the...
The voice. The singing voice.
Yes. Yeah. Hondra and I were actually talking about this with his brother. on Thanksgiving, we were talking about, because Alejandro's, you know, learning piano from his sister, Sydney. I'm learning a lot of guitar. I'm taking guitar lessons from Sydney.
I noticed you're getting a lot better because you did the music for this video, for the short.
It's not coming out till January 2nd, but I did do the score for it, and thanks, I appreciate that. But I really appreciate that. I've been trying to just, like, learn different genres instead of just punk, because I don't have an electric guitar. I live in an apartment. I can't be fucking plugging in and, you know, just playing four chords as fast as I can, as out of tune as I can anymore. It's like, no, I actually want to learn guitar.
Electric, but the chord is, like, fucked up. So it's like, every time you put it in, so... I've been needing to go to the store to get a new guitar fucking cable for like...
Well, you've got to come down here anyways. When you come down here, why don't you just fucking... I'll take you up to a guitar center.
Yeah, sure.
You know, it's about 5-minute drive from here. Big superstore. I got to get some stuff. Anyways, Alejandro was learning some piano stuff and... He was trying to learn the Grinch song, and we were talking about it for, you know, a good half hour about how the Boris Karloff singing "You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch" is the sickest fucking diss track. It's the original diss track. It's like Ether by Nas level fucking diss track. Like, it is unnecessarily fudging mean, that fucking diss track, dude. It's so good. Anyways, okay, so you've been watching a lot of Christmas stuff. The only thing I saw before Christmas was, well, I guess it was Christmas morning. I woke up here at my place, and I had a couple hours before I had to go over to my mom's, and I put on, what the fuck did I put on? Oh, I put on Elf.
That's what I did not watch this year, and
it's,
I love that.
Oh, movie. Really? It's such fucking classic, dude. Insta-classic. I mean, there's something so sweet, a little fucked up, I guess, if you think about it, but not really, about the scene where she's taking a shower, and he joins her in singing. Well, he didn't join her, but he's standing in the bathroom. Yeah. And it'd be great if he's so not aware of what's wrong. She's taking a shower singing, "Baby, It's Cold Outside," and he just comes in fully clothed. He's just standing. Elf, you know what's funny? Elf could absolutely be a fucking, like when they did that Winnie the Pooh fucking reimagining where it's a horror movie. You could totally take Elf and make it fucking frightening.
It's like 1 hour photo.
That, it would be more like that. He gets really, like, Christmas-level obsessed with her. You don't even have to change the fucking dialogue. You just really have to change the score. Instead of just, like, bing, 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 like, you know, just, like, cutesy fucking Christmas music, just make it fucking... type fucking violins.
And in reality, he's not really an elf. His dad is James Caan, and he's a grown man that has to raise this grown manic son.
Okay, so he's just a probably realistic depiction of Scott Caan.
Okay, yeah, there we go, but taller. I want my son to be over 5'5".
No, not taller. No. I want him to be 5'4", angry, fucking violent piece of shit, rich kid. Again.
Yeah, I work at the fucking North Pole.
I know nothing about Scott Caan. I'm sure he's a sweetheart, but I'm just going to go ahead and take a leap and say he's probably got his moments. Right? If he's anything like his old man, which he is the spitting image of, then I would imagine he's a pretty aggressive member of the tribe. Anyways, Phil, we're 20 minutes in. I got to ask you, why you didn't ask me what Sandy Claus brought me?
What did Sandy Claus bring you?
Sandy Claus brought me money.
Cash Money Millionaires.
The Bible.
Okay.
A gun.
That's cool.
Nickel-plated pistol, dude.
That's cool.
With one of those fucking Hitman Bloodline fucking extended fucking clips and a silencer with a scope, dude.
Okay. Hell yeah, man.
And a fucking really cool barcode tattoo on the back of my neck.
Cool. It's a can of peas.
What?
It's a can of peas when you scan it.
Is that true?
I knew a guy that had one of those tattoos, and I was like, so what is it? He's like, it's actually a can of peas. I actually, like, took the label to the tattoo artist. He's like, I want this. And the guy's like, okay. Like a can of, like, Jolly Green Giants or whatever.
Yeah, okay. So, if you could have a barcode tattoo, which every really cool dude wants, a barcode tattoo. That's without question. If you could have a really cool barcode tattoo on the back of your neck, if you could scan it, what would it have come from for you?
Beef jerky, a bag of jerky.
That sounds like Philip. That's a Philip thing.
Cigarettes.
Okay, that would probably be me. I would like my barcode tattoo. When you scan it, all right, on the back of my neck, it just pumps. It's like a Louis Grizzard omnibus. Just be like a lame Southern humorist from the 80s.
I'm a humorist. It's like, you're not funny.
You're a fucking tumorist, okay?
You're just a Southern nerd, sissy. Like, you know what I find funny about dandelions? It's like, I don't care, dude.
You're I don't give a fuck. I do not care where you find humorous about dandelions.
Yeah.
But then I would be like, all right, what do you find humorous about dandelions? And he'd be like, you know, he'd probably say something that you at least go like, huh, yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, because they don't go with the, I don't know.
Well, what I find humorous about dandelions is if you take 100 of them and you bound them together really tightly and you fold all the flowers over on top of each other, it forms a penis head. And then you can shove it. It gets really firm like fibrous, and you can shove it right up your fanny.
Yeah, or you can suck on it.
You can suck on it and then jerk yourself off while you're doing it.
Yeah. It's like, okay. I think I'm, you know what, Lewis, you're not that bad.
You know, Lewis, you're kind of all right by me, dude. You're all right. Okay, so for those who have been following, Philip and I, at the very end of October, said to ourselves and to the audience, writ large, that we love, L-U-V-V-V-E, love us some John Carpenter.
Yep.
And so we started out with, sorry?
We loved him so much, we were like, yeah, we'll do a whole month, and that turned into like.
Well, yeah, so so we said, all right, that's it. Starting first week of November, every week you're getting a John Carpenter parody. John Carpenter month. That's what we were calling November. We're now headed into January, and we're finally done.
we loved him so much that we had to extend our love.
Now, I need to also add, it's not because we got so excited by John Carpenter month that we made, I don't know, 8 or 9 parodies every week. It's that it just took a while, y'all, with between getting Christmas gifts and fucking, you know, work and having lives outside of the show, it took two shacks. Yeah,
in my
it took shacks. It made shecks to my mouth.
All right, tone. I don't care.
Yeah, tone. Yeah, but the way we were doing the accent, that's more like Goldmember.
Yeah. Oh, his father.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
His what? His his father. Okay.
And he was picking off skin flakes, and he was like, that's a keeper.
Yeah. What
a creepy movie. You know, by the third one, it was like, okay, this joke is done.
Yeah.
I mean, Spy Who Shagged Me, fuck yeah. First one, total classic. By the third one, Beyonce's in there just like, what am I doing in here, sugar? You know, and it's like, let's get this over with.
Yeah, yeah. A movie. I like it. Like, if I have to go through, like, the three movies, of course I'm going to watch it.
If you have to, for work. Phillip's never explained, but his job is, he's a construction worker, but his evil, shitty boss makes him watch, every trilogy, and that's not as good a job as you think. That's part of his training program.
Did you watch Goldmember? Yes. For some reason, I watched it twice.
Did you watch The Third Blade? Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah, I did. He's like, how about that Stephen Dorff, huh? He's like, I don't know if he was even in that one.
First one. Triple H is in the third one.
Did you watch Triple X three times?
Not even once.
Me neither.
Not even the one with Ice Cube.
Okay, so this week we're talking about, we have to get into this. This week we're talking about, last time we talked about, what the fuck was the last one we did? The Thing? No. Oh, the last one we talked about was Escape from New York, which is my personal all-time favorite John Carpenter movie. This ultimate episode of the John Carpenter experience, we're talking about Phillip's favorite John Carpenter movie, right? Like, this is it, right, for you?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's your number one, even though you just went number two in your pants. I can tell.
Times.
A few times.
Few.
When was the last time you pooped your pants?
I think when I had the flu like 8 years ago, like I sneezed and I was like, oh no.
You're lying.
On the couch.
I feel like you poop your pants at least once a year.
No, I don't just poop my pants once a year.
Just to keep it up. Just be like, well, I haven't pooped my pants this year. Might as well. Okay, so Phil, this is your favorite John Carpenter movie. What do you say you start with explaining what this movie's even about, bro? Look, this is very laid back. Philip has no notes. I have no notes. This is a movie so good it doesn't need notes. But what's this movie about, basically?
Well, it's almost like a Western set in the modern times. Old friends are meeting up in a little town. And Looks like one friend has to help the other friend get his wife back, or his fiance, and then he finds him a woman, and they all go on an adventure.
Hey, when I ask for the plot, I'm not saying give me a riddle.
Oh.
What's the plot, dick phase?
Sorry.
So-and-so is in this, and he plays this guy, and here's what happens specifically. Why did you do that?
Okay,
old, long time ago,
yesteryear.
Yes, exactly. Come on, what is it? Like, give me the plot. A little bit more specific.
Okay. There's a trucker named Jack Burton, played by Kurt Russell, that comes into town to meet an old buddy, and they got to find the dude's fiance. And there's magic.
Because
they're in the land of magic. Little China.
You turned it back into a mystery.
Oh. Kind of is a mystery.
Have you seen this movie?
Never. I've never seen it.
Oh, that's what it is. Why are we even doing it then?
Oh, I thought we were doing the movie Big Trouble.
No, Jesus. That used to piss me off is...
I had these friends who would be like, dude, Big Trouble's like the best movie ever. And I thought they were shortening Big Trouble in Little China. I was like, yeah, I never saw that one, but I love Escape from New York. I love Halloween. And they'd be like, what are you talking about?
It's like, yeah, I love that movie. I love the guy that's like Raiden. And they're like, what the Mortal Kombat?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I'm a late comer to this movie. Now, normally I'm an early comer.
Yeah.
But this is one I didn't see until like 4 or 5 years ago. We covered it on an earlier edition version of the podcast. And I fucking love this movie so goddamn hard, dude. I watched it 3 times the first day I saw it. I watched it 3 times in a row. I was also unemployed.
Like, corny as shit, but it's so good that like the corniness.
Well, it's intentional, right? And yeah. I feel like John Carpenter on this, like, look, we did a whole month of his movies, a whole 2 months. So he grew up a fan of cowboy movies. He grew up a fan of, you know, just B movies in general, fucking monster movies, you know, fantasy movies, all that kind of stuff. In this one, he just rolls it all up together in a big fat fucking blunt, bro.
Yeah,
Dan Kay, dude.
Okay,
it's that fucking
Dan Kay,
dude. It's fucking Jack Harrer level fucking dude.
Okay,
yeah, this shit will put you sideways, bro.
Oh, like Paul Giamatti.
This is the Paul Giamatti of 80s fucking cowboy kung fu sci-fi movies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which, by the way,
it's got everything.
It's got every. Look, when I think of everything, I think of Paul Giamatti.
Yeah. Eating an everything bagel.
Mm-hmm. And he's still like grumpy about it.
Yeah.
He's still screaming.
I wanted regular cream cheese and all you had was strawberry. This is gross.
This is gross. What the fuck is that fucking, you know, and with his like little fucking ugly body.
Yeah.
Like
just
when,
just jumping around and like stomping.
When I think of literally everything on earth that is worth a fuck, I just pause and I freeze, and the people around me go, are you okay? You were talking just a second ago. What's wrong? And my eyes go completely 8-ball hemorrhage black, and I stare off and start drooling blood, and I just go, Paul Giamatti.
It does sound a little satanic.
Yeah, yeah. Paul Giamatti? Giamatti is one of those concepts. I don't even think of him as like a dumpy, doughy little character actor. I think of him instead as like a way of channeling to like the human id, the psyche, the shadow that looms large, you know.
Yeah.
Like when I think of Paul Giamatti, I fucking just jizz myself to sleep, dude.
A whole sock.
A pink sock.
You call it your Giamatti catchers.
I have a, every morning when I wake up, there's a Paul Giamatti catcher hanging from the corner of my 4-post bed, bro.
I know it is mine.
Because it's filled with jizz. Mine. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I love this movie.
I did too. See who's great in it, though? Victor Wong.
Well, that's because you're sexist. I would say who's great in this is Kim Cattrall.
Okay, yeah. Well, she is the strong female lead in the movie.
Yeah, and I know that makes you mad because you're an incel, but
it does. It makes me so mad.
It makes you so mad that she's even in it, dude. You're like, and you get deep on it. You're like, yeah, but she was a bitch on the set of Sex and the City 1 and 2.
Yeah.
You know? Because you're also a huge Sex and the City fan.
Yes.
You know, which I get. I get that.
Yeah.
you know.
I like Sarah Jessica Parker.
I mean, Carrie Bradshaw or whatever her name is.
Wait, is it really Carrie Bradshaw?
Hold on, I'm looking it up now. Hold on.
Bradshaw's little sister.
Yeah, let me see. Who is Carrie Bradshaw? Yes, motherfucker. I knew it. Okay. Carrie Bradshaw is Sarah Jessica Parker's character from Sex and the City. And I'm sure people have had to make the joke that, you know, she's like, oh, my older brother's coming into town. Right? And all like her slutty friends are just like, ooh, and then he fucking shows up and it's Terry Bradshaw.
Just a tall, drunk fucking cowboy with like a half a six pack of 16 ounces. Hell yeah, I need a place to plop.
Yeah. He would say plop. He's a plopper.
My friends are coming over.
Yeah, and his name's Mr. Plopper, and his friends coming over? Penguins.
Yeah. That would be, you know, if that happened in an episode of Sex and the City, I'd watch it.
I'd watch at least that episode.
Like, hey, if this happens every episode.
And it doesn't. Most episodes, it's just, she's like, oh, I don't know. I just blew this Persian guy and he was weird.
Yeah, I like wine.
I like wine. I like wine and just sort of talking about girl stuff and post 9/11 New York City. And isn't that something? You know, do you remember the band episode of Sex and the City where the thumbnail for it was they were all doing Goatsy?
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, you remember that?
That was a great thing that I could take from Sex and the City.
Yes, the Goatsy episode.
The Terry Bradshaw, Terry Bradshaw. Brother episode. He's just constantly like having to pick up his beers off the floor. It's like, I hate this.
Well, when you said he's got a six pack of beer he shows up with looking for a place to plop, I immediately thought it would be funny if the six pack, all six beers are still on the rings, okay? They're still all hanging there, but he's already cracked open and drank half of each one.
Yeah.
He's just like, you can have one. And she's like, it's half a warm beer.
Well,
it's
take
flat.
The other half and pour it into that one. Now you got a whole beer.
Now you got a whole beer, puss. Okay, I'm sorry that I don't have Stellar Artois. Okay,
yeah. Stellar Artois.
But yeah, man, I also am a huge fan of Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
Just trying to find segues here.
Well, I love that character so much that I have two of the tank tops.
That's an iconic fucking tank top, too. It's, what is it? It's a white tank top, which is already a fucking big ask of a guy to wear a white shirt.
Yes, a white shirt, because you're going to get something on it.
You're going to get a little bit of gabagool on it.
Yeah.
But it's a white tank top with some sort of, what is that? Like a
samurai.
Yeah.
And like,
and he's doing Goatsy, I think.
And he's doing Goatsy, yeah. Showing his goat off.
Yeah, dude, because he's goated up, dude. He's the greatest of all time. It's spreading his fucking. Yeah, dude. Yeah, man. But yeah, so it's Kurt Russell wearing a. So you have two of the Goatsy tank tops, is what you're saying.
Yes. I bought a second one after I soiled the first.
Jizz rag?
No, like fucking barbecue sauce from like ribs. So I got a second one. I'm always scared. I'm like scared to wear it anywhere.
Why?
I don't know. I just feel like something's gonna happen to it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, I'm just scared. Something's gonna happen. It's gonna up.
I bought. This is the dumbest thing I did in a while. It hasn't been stained, but I went and bought a white button-up shirt. Right, because I like. I'm trying to dress nicer. I'm trying something different style-wise. Because I'm gay like that, and I got this really nice white button-up, and I'm trying to prove to myself that I'm not a slob when I wear it, But I realized quickly that I just eat things like a fucking monster. So, like, I haven't stained this white shirt yet, but it's because I'm very, very, very conscious of it, right? Whereas my entire life, if I had white shoes, white fucking, I'd have never had white pants, I don't think, but like, you know, like I'm some fat southerner headed to church wearing white pants with clearly piss stains.
Yeah, with some like white gloves too. And like a handkerchief.
Yeah.
Like covered in like.
Oh, just head to toe in white.
Oh, yeah.
Could you make it through one day if you had to wear a full white costume?
No.
With no stains.
I would make it that morning.
Yeah, you would shit yourself.
Or just like spill coffee on it.
You'd spill coffee and then the coffee would upset your tum tum and then you'd shit yourself. So the front and back would just be ruined.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be ruined.
It would look like I sat in pudding.
Yeah, exactly. Shitty, shitty, shitty flavored pudding.
Yeah.
No, ma'am. This is not, I did not poop myself. I sat in a bowl. You're not going to believe this. I sat in a bowl of Motz's shit flavored pudding.
You're not gonna believe this, but
somebody
that is also shit.
It's a good and line like, reading on that. There is a pudding that is also shit. You believe that? You believe that? You believe
fine,
that?
I guess.
You
I
believe
know.
That bullshit? They made a whole pudding out of shit, and I went and sat on it on the inside of my pants, though. That's what's weird about it. You're not going to believe this. Some fucking little punk showed up a few minutes ago and pooped in the back of my britches, and now it looks like I pooped myself. Anyways, I got to go home early, and I'll take PTO.
I got to find a lawyer.
I got to find a lawyer.
Hello.
Okay, so look, this episode is a post-Christmas episode. We're not going to cover this movie. We've proven that at this point.
Yeah.
But I do want to talk about some things from it. And one of them is a thing that we've brought up on the show umpteen million times, I'm sure. But I do want to reiterate. When Philip showed me this movie, and I get it. When Philip showed me this movie, and another friend of the show, Jimmy, also is a huge fan of this movie, right?
Yeah.
And both of you were like, it's my favorite Kurt Russell, it's my favorite John Carpenter, Kurt Russell's such a badass in this movie, right? Which I get, again, not talking shit here. I watched it, because you guys had seen it since you were like 6 years old.
Oh, yeah, fucking kids, yeah.
Right. So if you're 6 years old watching this for the first time, Kurt Russell's the man, right?
Yeah.
I watch it as a 30-year-old for the first time, and I was like, wait, Kurt Russell's a fucking retard in this. Like, Kurt Russell's...
No, very bumbling.
He's a moron in this movie. And it hit me the first time watching it, and then we looked up John Carpenter, who pretty much... dispelled any confusion on the matter, where it was like, no. This movie is about the second character thinks he's the main character.
Yeah.
Jack Burton in this movie, if you look at every other this type of buddy movie, Jack Burton would be the fucking second guy. He would be the comic relief dumbass best friend of the main character. And that's what's so smart about this movie is he takes the dumbass best friend and makes him the main character, which just increases the comedy of it. Makes it like this is genuinely a funny movie.
It is.
Which is great because, you know, you and I talk about John Carpenter all the time, but besides this movie, John Carpenter does not go for many laughs in his movies.
No.
Like, think about it. Escape from New York, not a lot of laughs.
No.
Halloween, pretty much no laughs. They Live has some fucking laughs. They Live is funny.
They Live.
But what? Assault on Anus 13, not a lot of laughs. Hey. Sorry?
The Thing, no laughs at all.
The Thing is like...
Yeah.
Like negative laughs. in that fucking movie. Yeah, but this movie is genuinely fucking funny. There's a scene where they're in the underground sneaking into the lair, and they're in a tunnel, and that big, ugly, floating head shows up, right? Looking like a fucking, you know, like a... Looking like what?
That thing from Doom, that big eyeball monster that comes at you.
Oh, see, I always thought it just kind of looked like one of the great lost, you know, garbage pail kids.
Right? Okay, yeah. He went down to disposal.
Disposal Danny, right? Garbage Disposal Danny. And he comes floating towards Jack Burton, Kurt Russell's character, and Kurt Russell shoots at it, and it escapes the shots. And everybody's looking at him like, what the fuck was that? And he goes, oh, you don't know till you try. Like, that's such a fucking great comedy bit, right? Like a little moment right there. But it was funny to me watching it being like, he's not a badass, he's an idiot. And then I came back to you, because we did cover this movie a long time ago on an earlier version of the show. And I laid out my case why he's an idiot and he's not actually the main character. And the look in Phillip's face was, and again, I get it because Kurt Russell is the man. He looked at me like I just said, Kurt Russell's a bitch. Like, you look shocked. You looked hurt. And I get it. That would piss me off if the roles were reversed and you came to me and you're like, dude, he's wearing high heels all throughout the thing. I'd be like, shut up. And then I go looking at him like, oh, my God, he is. Oh, my God, he's got beautiful little feet.
Beautiful feet.
And a big heart-shaped apple-bottom booty. Oh, my God.
Yeah. But did he have the furs?
Well, hold on. Let me check Mr. Skin. Yes.
So if you don't have fur, okay.
Yeah, he was penis and furs.
Penis and furs. Okay, we're going to go penis and furs today.
So, are you a, like, when you're watching this movie as a kid, and you have your little penis, and you know when your little penis starts getting, you know, it starts, like, acting weird?
Yeah, it starts quacking.
Yeah, when you were like 23, 24, and your penis started like getting unnecessarily hard for no reason.
My balls finally dropped at 23.
You remember?
Yeah.
Okay. So when you were watching the movie and it made like your little 24-year-old prepubescent pee-pee start getting hard, was Kim Cattrall, was she one of your ladies or no?
I would think so.
Like your little pee-pee would get hard at her?
Sure. Yeah. My little pee-pee would get hard at her.
See, mine only gets hard at Victor Wong.
Okay.
Yeah. And it is medical because he's not my type. I'm not into octogenarian actors.
With a huge eyeball?
Yeah. Well, the huge eyeball, I mean, look, I like a stiff one eye like the next gay guy, but not like an 80-year-old stiff one eye. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow. You're an ageist. Wow.
Oh, no. Okay, hold on. Fuck, I don't want to get canceled. Stop, seriously. We're not entering 2024 getting canceled, okay? So let me try and undo that. I'm going to cut this out, and we'll just retake this part.
Okay.
Oh, man, I love blowing 80-year-old men.
That's so progressive of you.
Thank you, and do you like blowing 80-year-old men?
Oink. Of course. I love it.
Oh, so you just, what, fetishize octogenarians? That's also kind of fucked up, though. Like, that's abuse.
No, I don't fetishize.
You're
going to
get us canceled. Let's just do this. Hold on. We'll take it back. I respect 80-year-old people, and while Philip likes to blow them, I sometimes, I'll at least make out with one at a drive-by truckers show.
That sounds about right.
That sounds about right.
Sounds about right with that band. Oh, man, 80-year-old, you're going to get blown.
I got to get into them, man, because the songs you've played for me from them, it's kind of like a really low-key country replacement. They're kind of like Lucero kind of stuff.
Okay, yeah.
And I did.
I see that a lot.
I like that kind of shit. Anyways. So, okay, let's see. We would make out with the 80-year-old man. Your 25-year-old PP would sometimes get hard at women.
Sometimes.
Okay. Kurt Russell's in this. It's funny. I'm trying to think what else we got to say about this. I mean, look, we got more time, but
I like the special effects and stuff.
Motherfucker. Okay, so do me a favor. I have to pee-pee. Can you and don't do the thing where you go, I don't know how to talk, even though I've been podcasting for 9 years. Talk about your favorite special effects. And if you run out of steam and I'm not back, just talk about life, bro. You're the new Marc Maron. Just talk about your cats.
Okay.
All right. I'll be right back. Pow. I just shit my pants.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see. I like the special effects in the movie, especially when they go and they're swimming down to like the, where like the skeletons are on the chains. I thought that looked pretty cool. Cause like, it was like rotting flesh, looked very, gnarly. Of course there's the iconic alleyway fight between the two gangs that they get caught up in. When the, like the elemental guys come in, like you have the wind guy, the lightning guy, the strong guy that puffs up, then he explodes. That was fucking hilarious. I got to bring that up to Mike. But let's see. The part where, yeah, like all the lightning and shit. I lived in the lightning. It was I was a kid then, so I was like, whoa, this is like Mortal Kombat. And I loved it. It's a great movie. It's my top John Carpenter and my top Kurt Russell. So I think, yeah, it's in two categories as number one. It's that fucking good of a movie. What the hell is he doing? Let's see. Yeah. James Hong actually recently got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Fucking finally. The guy's like 90-something. Guy deserved it. He played all the good villains in like action movies and shit. I think he's in The Perfect Weapon. That's a movie with Jeff Speakman. Little known martial arts guy. And Michael's back. All right. So I was talking to them about the special effects, and I was like, oh, the one guy that could like inflate himself. That was so great.
I was wondering about this actually, because I rewatched it a couple days ago for the show. And did that freak you out at all when you were a kid? Like, because I never saw it, and I just imagined that would fucking wig me out.
Well, that whole movie used to wig me out. I just loved it so much. Like the part with like the underwater part with the corpses, like underwater. Yeah. That looked fucking gnarly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved that. So you and I have a big teaser we have to do here in a second for this next episode. We're special episode we're putting out. So I guess just to kind of wind it down a bit, if I had to do my top five and you had to do your top five, John Carpenter's off the dome. You know your number one's Big Trouble. I know my number one is Escape from New York. What's five through one, counting down from five?
Okay.
I'll go first while you think.
Actually, number five would be They Live.
They Live, okay. My number five would be Christine. Okay.
Let's see.
My number four would be Halloween.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, because Halloween, I mean, look, Halloween is not his greatest. I mean, it, you know, I get it being everybody's favorite. You know, it's fucking gnarly, but it's not my favorite. But it's definitely my number four. What's your number four?
Oh, that would be Halloween.
Okay, if you wind up just saying what I say, I'm going to be so mad at you,
Missy. We might have the same list.
You always pull this.
I do not.
All right, tell me your number three.
Okay, The Thing.
That's my number three, Dick. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. My number three, I was just kidding.
Oh, no.
My number three would be Big Trouble in Little China.
Okay.
My number two is The Thing.
Okay. My number two is Escape from New York.
Oh, really? Okay. My number one, well, we've already said, mine is Escape from New York, and yours?
Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Vampire Dollar Signs.
Yeah, I like Vampire Dollar Signs.
You know, I actually like that movie, but I haven't seen it.
I do too.
I haven't seen it in like 10 years. I wonder if it holds up. When was the last time you saw vampires?
A couple years ago.
Held up?
Yeah.
I love James Woods.
It holds up in the top 10. I guess it would be like my number seven, because my number six would be Christine.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. I love vampires, and part of it's because, look, man, I really do like James Woods, mainly politically.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm kidding. It so sucks that, like, I remember Hondra when I told him, you know, he's QAnon and shit. He was like, what the fuck? Like he was like, James Woods should be, like, he's this sex pest 70s holdover edgy character actor.
Yeah.
I just figure he'd be a, just at the very least, like your average garden variety kind of Hollywood liberal.
Yeah.
If not even like far left. I could see him being like, you know, I was listening to, you know, fucking Chomsky. But instead, no, he's just like this fucking right wing nut job. And I hate that, but I don't care. I love James Woods in anything I see him in except for Twitter.
Same here. I don't care. It's like, I'm not the guy that's like, I'm not going to watch this actor because of his beliefs. I'm like, no.
No, that's what the right wing does. That's lame.
Yeah.
I'm not watching Taxi Driver ever again. It's like, okay. I don't know why you did to begin with if you're upset that he doesn't like Trump.
Yeah.
Like, Taxi Driver's a wild fucking movie for some weird Christian conservative to be watching to begin with, to be honest. Oh, man, you want to fuck this underage girl? She'll make you come so hard. Like, that's an upsetting fucking movie.
Yeah.
You know? I got to say, I love this movie. If I had to give it a rating, well, you know what, Phil? This is your pick. This is your favorite movie. We're winding up the month with it, the two-month. what do you give this out of 100?
I'm going to give it 100.
God damn.
Yeah.
Of course, it's your favorite. I mean, like, favorite movies of all time. Is this in the top five? I don't need your top five, but is it in the top five?
Yes.
Okay. Then, of course, it's 100. I get it. For me, I'm going to give it 100, too. Like Escape from New York, I think, is 101 Dalmatians level 101. But, like, I fucking love this movie. I think it's flawless. I think it's creative as shit. It's hilarious. It's just also so well fucking made.
Yeah.
Like, the final battle sequence, which is chaotic as shit, but it looks so good. It looks like a Chinese restaurant.
Yeah, like the light. Oh, yeah, it does.
Like
it
the neon lights?
Like a 1990s Chinese restaurant.
Okay, look, Philip's going to get this reference. I don't know if this is a national chain, but Phil, it looks like you're inside 1999 Golden Buddha.
Golden Buddha.
It looks like you're in Golden Buddha, which, again, I don't know if that's a national chain. If you're in Boston, I would say it looks like you're at fucking Kowloon's. Like, it's just this upsettingly fucking corny.
Neon lights and, like, the golden tigers.
It's so perfect, dude. I love this movie, and this is one of those movies that You know, usually on the show, Philip and I either see a movie neither of us has seen, or we cover a movie that we both know. Sometimes, and we should do this more going forward in the future, which we're about to discuss the future a little bit. This is one of those ones where Philip was like, "You've never seen this? We have to do this one." And I was like, "Fine, fine, fine. I just don't think I like it." And then woke up one morning, got myself a gun. No, but I woke up one morning and I plopped it on the TV. And I was like, this is one of the greatest things I've ever seen. Why did it take me 3 decades to get to it?
Sometimes that happens with movies.
Yeah, but Phil, you remember, I went out and got the fucking tank top. I've seen this movie, and so what, 6 years now it's been? I've seen this movie probably 15 times now. Like, I just love it, dude. Movies you can put on while you're doing, like, laundry and shit.
Yeah. It's one of those that's that great.
Goddamn love it. So I always owe you one for that, dude, because that was such a great recommendation. My God. Okay, so look, to the people who on YouTube, link is in the description, and people watching this on YouTube, well, subscribe if you can, which you can, so please. You know, this was a fun fucking journey doing the... John Carpenter month. In fact, it's been a fucking fantastic year, which we're going to talk about in depth, obviously. The next episode coming out might even be coming out in a couple days. And it's we'll let you know on all the socials and stuff when it drops, but it's our new year's? How do you say this phrase? Happy New Year's. Happy New Year's. It's our Happy New Year's episode, and Philip and I are going to be taking a look back at all the stuff we've done over the past, Phil, 9 years. Listen to me.
9 years.
Phil, 9 years.
Yeah.
We've been doing this. And it's been stop and start. There were whole years we didn't even fucking sit down in front of a microphone. So we're going to be covering a lot of stuff. We're going to have hopefully some old friends of the show. We're going to swing by and say hello. It's going to be a big episode because we're kind of moving in a new direction, which I think a lot of people probably noticed the past, what, 3, 4, 5 months, especially the past year, is we added a video component. And then we started being like, what if we made parodies? You know? So we're going to be covering a lot of stuff. It's basically going to be the best of 2023. It's going to be a clip show, but it's also going to be, the plans for the new year because, and I can tell you this much is, the audio version of this podcast is coming to an end. Next episode is the final episode you will ever hear, at least I think so, of Movie Podcast Now or any Philip and Michael property. you know, we've been doing it for 9 years. It's been a million different fucking names. You know, it started out as Philip Goes to Hollywood. And then what was the one that I was the host of that we did around the same time?
A permanent smile,
which was sort of me and Philip trying to do like a Mr. Rogers type thing, but like edgy, weird kind of Mr. Rogers, which was fucking fun, but it only lasted like 4 episodes. Then it was Action Movie Podcast Now. Oh, no. Sorry. Then it was Philip and Mike, the Philip and Michael Show.
Yeah.
PMS.
Yeah, it was the Philip and Michael Show. And then PMS with a Vengeance.
Then it was PMS with a Vengeance, which was that same format, but about action movies. Then it became Action Movie Podcast Now. Then it became Slasher Movie Podcast Now, which is still the biggest hit we did in terms of audio only. And then it became just Movie Podcast Now. Whatever we want to talk about, whatever you want to hear us talk about. Again, if you have an idea for a movie, leave us a comment. Or email us at pmssubject@gmail.com. But we've done a bunch of stuff. And the truth is, the YouTube version of the show gets the most traction, gets the most comments. It's, you know, we're on Facebook when we share the videos, or on TikTok and YouTube Shorts. We get a lot of looks, a lot of looky-sees.
Yeah, we get a lot. Yeah, way, a hell of a lot
more. Hell of a lot. Let's be honest. A hell of a lot more. Like, it's actually a property people enjoy. It's a fucking show people really like. And as much as I love podcasting, like literally audio only, you could get it on fucking iTunes back in the day, like the Ricky Gervais Show and fucking Comedy Bang Bang and Mark Maron's What the Fuck, like all that kind of stuff. I love podcasting. But not as much as just making these fucking parodies, dude. They're so fun. Like, Philip and I are making movies now.
Making movies.
They're short fucking movies. They're parodies. But goddamn. So the next one we've got coming out is going to be the parody that accompanies this episode for Big Trouble in Little China. I think its official title is Michael Gets Us Canceled for Trying to Parody Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah.
It's gonna be, and Philip turns in legit one of his best. His best performance since, of course, Blake Piskin, the real Snake Plissken. But Phil, is there anything you want to say before we, you know, wrap it up? I know we've got a whole episode about this, but like, fuck, man, 9 years.
9 years. And nine more. Nine more. Nine more.
Well, hold on.
Nine more.
Hold on. Hold on. I meant 9 years of the audio version, which we're ending.
Yeah.
Yeah. You and me doing parodies and eventually full on, like, original short films and maybe even feature length, that's not going to stop. I'm saying, is there anything you want to say about the end of the podcast? Because, dude, we did that. That was our bread and butter for like 8 years.
Yeah. All good things come to an end, and to make room for gooder things.
That's right. I hope you brought your hungry hats, ladies and gentlemen, because it's not just seconds at this point. These are ninths. We're bringing ninths.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I give it 100. Phil gives it 100. This movie's amazing. But join us next week, because we're ending the show. And, Phil, it's going to be a spooktacular that's probably going to go for 2 hours. It's going to be a long episode.
Okay.
Awesome, brother. Okay, well, if you want to reach us, you can reach us again at pmssubject@gmail.com, or you can like and subscribe on YouTube, all that kind of stuff. And, I feel kind of emotional talking about the end of the show.
Yeah. It's
I know it's not the end of you and me making stuff. This is actually like we're springboarding into something bigger, but it's just, I don't know, man. Sitting there having the microphone, talking and shit. We did that for years.
Yeah.
Look, Phil's really upset about this. He doesn't like being on video. He didn't want the show to end, and he has been threatening suicide daily for months. But it's mostly about stuff like when I go over to his place, he's like, hey, could you give me a pack of cigarettes? And if I don't text back immediately with a yes, he texts back, or I will slit my goddamn throat.
Yeah, haven't yet. And I did get my cigarette.
He did. That's right. The day I show up without the smokes, the day I show up without his timeless time dollar pack of cigarettes, he's going to fucking end it.
L&M.
Dude, L&M Blues.
And the Reds.
Oh, well, that's because you're a hardcore punk motherfucker, dude.
Oh, hell yeah. You know, I'm all about the hardcore punk.
Yeah, whereas I'm more of like a pop ska kid.
Yeah.
So I get the blues.
Less than Jake.
Yeah, less than Jake, for sure. Anyways, join us next week. We'll see you then. And Phil, I'm emotional about it. This is going to be a big episode, then.
Oh.
I just don't even know if I can look at you anymore.
I don't know what to do, baby girl.
Well, baby boy.
Baby boy, baby girl.
Well, I think me being baby girl, you being baby boy, we should have sex, and that will produce an adult man.
Okay. Yeah. So that's
it.
That
works in the opposite.
In this dimension.
All right. See you next week.
See ya.